keep quoting a little book that I say on page 407 or 403 or whatever. Okay, this is the book I keep quoting. You can find some of these on the internet. They sell something like this. I have copied this, or have made photocopies of this book, and I have them. They're about $50 or $60 to get it done. But the one that I copy, I have gone through and I've made corrections in this text and everything else. Every Greek word in the New Testament is totally analyzed in this little book. I give you the basic root meanings. Where it didn't, I wrote them in. And this one. I even get one of these. And by the way, brother.
The one you copied, they blew up the letters, so it's a lot bigger print.
Yeah, it's a little better than mine is. But if you get on the internet, if you see if you can get one of these, it's like this one, you know, just like this one, they're printing and everything else, because I'd like to get an extra one. Because this one's falling apart. I put an elk skin on the outside of it. The backing was falling off of it, so I glued it together and put it back together, kind of like this old binder. But I've used it a lot. It is an analytical lexicon of the Greek New Testament. And every word in here in Greek is all broken down, and all of the cases and the verbs tell you all about that, and just complete them. You can see it. You have to go from Greek into English. All right, you have to look it up in Greek and go to English from there. But it's all in there, and I've written just about on every page in it and made corrections and additions to it. It left some words out, and I put those in here. And some what they call there is biblical and profane Greek. Koine Greek started about 300 B.C. and it went to about 300 A.D. And there's Greek that goes prior to that with the classical Greek and the what they call the dialects. So you'll have some of that. And then I've got a big one. I don't know if you ever saw that. I think Liddell and Scott. It's this wide, little tiny small print. And the book is this thick, like this. I mean, it goes into all Greek, not only profane, but also biblical. All covers everything. And so I put some of that into here, into my revised edition of this. So if you want one of those, tell me. I'm only going to copy just how many I need. You can go down to Berean Bookstore and you can buy an analytical Greek lexicon. But I don't like it as well as this one. This was the best one I ever saw, and I don't know why that they let it go and didn't reprint it, because that was the best one. Kind of like Young's analytical lexicon for the New Testament. Everybody talks about Strong's, but Young's is 10 times better. It's just a much better lexicon. But you never see it around because it's not promoted. Anyway, this is something I wanted to show you. In my text, I cross-reference it to this book. So if you want to get one of these later, or you can order one and buy a used one from the used book things on the internet. And they're probably about $20 or $30 used, something like that. Okay? It's available. I know people that have bought it all over. I'm going to read some notes to you tonight that I have made that I skipped over a little bit earlier. I started in 8 and verse 7 with these notes. And it's about the events that are happening in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. I'll just read them to you and maybe comment a little bit. The events of the trumpet judgments. Now, you have the pictures of the trumpet judgments. Now, somebody, how many, do any of you need a text at all? A Greek text. Okay? Here's the Greek text. You need one or two? Just one? So, can you toss that back there for me? Anyone else? Well, I've got plenty of these. Okay. Oh, this one here?
Oh, no, this is it, right?
Yeah, that's it. All right. On here, if you'll look at this little chart. I drew this a long time ago. The first part of it is actually over here, and the second part is over here. And we're looking about the second 3.5 years, and the seals and the trumpets and the bowls overlap. Okay? And that's what I want you to see. And my wife is an artist. and she's going to redo this for me so you can look at it, and it'll be much better. She can print better than I did, too, or than I did here. So she's going to do this one of these days. That's the one of her little projects in the future. All right?
So two of us could be happening at the same time?
What?
Is that what you mean by the overlap?
Yes. When a trumpet is blown, some of the seals are taking place, some of the bowls, the vials are being poured out and everything. All this kind of overlaps. And many people try to make, well, this is happening here, so how did this happen? It's intermingling.
Sure.
That's what the problem is. And people don't, when they're in a compartmental idea of an interpretation of the scriptures, they really make a lot of trouble for themselves. If you don't just let the Bible take care of itself there. All right. That'll give you kind of an idea. It's a hand-drawn little structure. All right. Then it says, the events of the trumpet judgments, hail and fire mixed with blood, shall fall upon the earth, and one-third of the greenery of the earth shall be destroyed. In Revelation 8 and 7, where we studied that. Now, God's judgment was basically upon the greenery of the earth, the plant life. Of course, when you destroy plant life, what happens? Justice. It affects everything else, animal life also. Okay? And number two, something like a great mountain is thrown into the sea, and one-third of all the things in the sea is destroyed. Ships, fish, and living creatures. Revelation 8:8-9. Okay? Number three, a great star called Wormwood will fall into the waters and one-third of the streams of the earth and poison many people to death. Because of the waters. Water is an absolute necessity in life. Revelation 8:10-11. And then number four. One-third of the moon and the stars are smitten. 4 hours per day of sunlight and light is basically what will take place here. Until they will not shine with only one-third of what the normal time. What time? How many hours of daylight is there? 12 hours, basically, in the summertime is longer. Okay? According to what part of the world you live in, you know. But, basically, 12 hours of daylight. Well, this is only going to be 4 hours of daylight. It's going to be like twilight.
So, drastically reduce the temperature of the plant.
It's going to drastically reduce the temperature of the plant, drastically reduce life as we know it today. Also, the warning of the coming woes is given in Revelation 8:12-13. Great locust-like creatures are turned loose upon the earth from the bottomless pit, and these are to torment those who do not have the seal of God. Revelation 9:4 on the foreheads, for a period of 5 months, which is about how long that the plague or locusts actually plague people in different parts of the world. Okay? During this period of time, men will try to seek to die because of the great torments upon them. But under this trumpet, and under this period of time, they can seek to die, but they cannot die. It's a terrible thing. Misery brings on death. These people will try to die, but they cannot die. The second woe begins under the sixth trumpet, and the four angels sound abound at the river Euphrates. And they proceed to kill one-third of all mankind, and the great Armageddon is beginning to be busted. 200 million are gathered together on this battlefield. 200 million people. That's a lot of flesh. The battleground is described in Isaiah 63, 1 through 4, Revelation 14, 19 and 20. And one-third more of mankind is killed by three plagues of fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, this fire, smoke, and brimstone could be gunfire. Because what's gunpowder made of? What is brimstone?
Sulfur.
What's the basic element in gunpowder? Sulfur. All right. So it could be the weapons of these people. As the natural barrier, the Euphrates is removed, the armies have direct access across and run a full run of this battlefield. Revelation 9:14, Daniel 11:41-44, and Ezekiel 38:1 onward. And then it says the sixth trumpet is continued. The rest of the mankind who were not killed by the plagues still refuse to repent. My wife asked me something today. She said we were talking. Well, I went to the doctor's office with her, and the doctor ran out in between patients and asked me questions about the Bible. And anyway, just flip your seat around, young lady. And he asked me questions about the Bible and why did God, was God so... He said, I believe in God, and I'm not blasphemous and anything, but why did God bring such terrible judgments upon people in the Old Testament? And basically what I told him, that is proof that there's a hell to come. And God, if he was not just and didn't bring forth judgment, he wouldn't be God. Because justice and truth necessitates a hell in the future. People have to suffer for the things they got by with in this life. There's been some bad people that live to face this. There's one guy over there in China that killed millions of people in his lifetime. That man was a killing machine. You never even hear of him, but he was a killer. And he wiped out whole areas, whole towns of outlaw, like Genghis Khan. Judgment is coming. And what we see when God went into sent Israel into Palestine, and he said, wipe out every man, woman, and child in the whole area. Don't leave a doll or a cat or an animal alive. Wipe it all out. Kill them all. Well, every child, under the age of accountability, if they die, they go be with the Lord. No. All right, that's accepted among most of Christianity. Well, God got the glory, and they're all with the Lord. Even today, all those people that were under the age of accountability. The others were idolaters. They were absolutely infested with disease. Even their animals were infested with diseases. They had to be stopped. They had to get them out. Had to clean out the area, or it would be added unto them. And of course, we know that they didn't clean the area out. So they ended up having all of these diseases were added unto them. And it plagued all of Europe, too. During the sixth trumpet, the seven peals of thunder utter their judgments, but they are not yet revealed. These people will not repent even when they see the power of God on the earth. They'll give him glory because they'll fear him, but they won't say, forgive me. They won't do it. They will not repent of their murders and of their sins and their adultery and their idolatry. It says that very plainly in the Bible. The bittersweet book is eaten by John in Revelation 10:9-10, and Ezekiel 28:8-10. During the sixth trumpet, the two witnesses of God also prophesy for 3.5 years, for 1,260 days. And you can refer back to Revelation 3:11-3 for this. A great earthquake takes place in Jerusalem, and 7,000 people are killed. And the rest are terrified and reverence God in fear because of the floods. All right, 7,000 people. When the Bible speaks about a flood, or it talks about hail, that's literal flood and it's literal hail. Let's use it in figurative language. So many people try to make the whole book of Revelation figurative language that it really isn't going to happen, or it happened in the past, or something. We, as Bible interpreters, one of the things you need to learn in Bible interpretation, there's three basic rules of interpretation. You can expand them on the five if you want to. But there are three basic rules of interpretation. What are they? Come on, somebody. Who's he speaking? What? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? That's real simple. Those are real simple things. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? All right? That will solve most of your Bible questions right there. Very simple. As we go on now, more great, under the seventh trumpet, more great earthquakes and hail, Revelation 11:13-19, and finally, the rest of the saved on earth are taken to be with God. And at this period of time, 5/6 of the world has been destroyed. Mankind. 5 out of every 6 people is dead. Okay? 5 out of every six people are dead. Only one out of six is left alive. Two out of every three Jews in the world has been killed. Five-sixths of mankind are dead. Two-thirds of the Jews are dead. Under the kingdom of God and the millennial reign of God, right here, one-sixth of the Gentile nations will go in. And the Jews will go in here, and the Jews will glorify God, and they will lead out in the worship of God on this earth. All right? Now, these are things we're coming up to. 1 Corinthians 15:52, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Psalm 2:19, 2 and 9 will actually be fulfilled. Now, let's go on ahead. I think we quit in 8 and verse 9 the last time. Let's go on 8 and verse 10. The third trumpet sounds. You got kind of an overview of this. And from the sister down, it's so good to see you back here. Right? We really miss you. And I got to look at my roll sheet, too. I think, oh, here it is. I've got a lot of people signed up in this class. I'll go down through here. Laura, bachelor. Okay, Laura. Ken Flynn, Amy. I can write you down here because they left you out. And Amy Brigman and Steve Brigman are here. Rob and Shirley. And Art's not here tonight. Okay. Jim D'Amato. All right. Yeah. Jim Atherton, he's not here yet. Jerry Gibson's here in spirit only. Bill Hawkins and Joanne. And Gary Johnson, Sandy Johnson, Tiffa McCullough, Victor Myers, Bill Church, but he's taken it by class. Fernando Levine, you're here. I'm here, I think. Jim Redstone, Pam Redstone. Anna Reyes and Fernando, you're here. Billy Joel Rice, there you are. And with the Bud?
He's
sick. Remember him. Hammer?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Norm, you're here. And my mom and my dad and Eric Wolf, not here. All right. Got that taken out of place, almost forgot. Ty?
Hi.
Tritos. Angelos.
Angelos.
Isal. Isay.
Isal.
Isay. Thai.
Thai.
Ephesim.
Ephesim.
Ek.
Ek.
Tu.
Tu.
Uranu.
Uranu.
Aster.
Aster.
Megas.
Megas.
Thai Omenos.
Thai Omenos.
Tos.
Tos.
Lampas.
Lampas.
Thai.
Thai.
Ephesim.
Epi,
Tol,
Tritone,
Tone, Totalmon, Tai, Epi, Tos, Tigas, Tone, Hidatone. Now let's go back and look at these. The Greek words, our English language, so much corresponds to it. And the third, Tritos, where you think trace in Spanish comes from, and three in English, right out of the Greek. All right, tritos. Hina, dio, tres. One, two, three in Greek. Just like Spanish. Spanish comes from Latin. Latin comes from Greek. All right. This is the mother of all Western languages, by the way. If you read that little grammar I wrote, it tells you that the Greek language is the mother of all the Western languages. If you learn Greek, you can read any language. Correct French, Italian, Spanish, Latin, German, even Russian. If you know enough Greek, you can read and make sense out of those languages. And the third angel, look at our word angel. Where did it come from? Angelos. All right? Right out of Greek. See how much Greek there is in our language? And he sounded. He saw Pisan. And he sounded. And it fell out of the heaven, a star. Where do you think we get our word? Star. Right out of here. It is austere. Star. All right? Our word star comes right out of the Greek language. All right? A star, great, burning, koiomenos. This was a continually burning star. This was like a comet, or how many of you been to Arizona over there, the meteor crater in Arizona? That big hole in the ground over there where a meteor hit the earth and busted up? I was going to bring a piece of that thing. That's the hardest metal. And I think I told this class or some other class, Jim Bowie took a piece of a meteor, and his Bowie knife was fused with that meteor. Real hard. That's where that famous Bowie knife, that's where it came from. Out of that star, that comet that fell out of the sky. And it fell out of the heaven. A star, great, burning, has a... How many of you have a lamp in your house? Lampos. Another English word that comes right out of Greek. Like a torch, like a lamp, like a light. Lampos. And it says, Kai Hepesen. And it fell upon the third of the rivers. Hippopotamus. Comes from this, the last part of that word. Potomo. Potamus. Hippopotamus. River horses. Hippopotamus means. The Ptolemies. Remember the Ptolemies, the rulers? That's, they were the river people. The river people. All right? A third of the rivers. And upon the fountains, the Picus of the waters. Now, what this burning thing did, it poisoned the water sources. It poisoned the water sources of the earth. Water is an absolute necessity. Remember when Israel was out wandering around in the wilderness and they came across bitter waters? Well, God changed those bitter waters to sweet, didn't he? Now, at every drink of water, every breath of air that you get is a gift of God. Many people don't realize that. But every drink, every heartbeat, every drink of water, when you can sit in a cool, shady, under a cool, shady tree by a wonderful, cool, running, clear stream, that's a gift of God. Whether you're an atheist or a believer in God. Did you know that? Atheists will get up and they'll blaspheme God and say, God, if you're up in heaven, I'm speaking against you this very day. If there's a God in heaven, then stop my heart. Kill me if there's a God in heaven. God's got them on a long leash right there. That's a dangerous thing to do because one of these days their chickens are going to come home to roost. They're going to pay for all that hell and waiting. And it's real and it doesn't stop. Just keeps on going. The judgment's not going to stop one of these days. They're going to say, whoa, what's enough? But it's not going to be enough. Because it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Go in. Then in verse 11, Kai, Ko, Onoma, Tu, Asteros, Legate, Ho, Athinotos, Athinotos, Kai, Agenito, Go, Tritone, Tone, Hidatone, Ace, Monspinistone, Kai, Paloi, Tone, Anthropone, Apethanone, Ek, Tone, Hidatone, Kote, Epi, Krana, Thesan. Okay. And the name of the star. Remember? The name. Kai to Onoma to Asteros. Our word star comes from the word Asteros. And the name of the star, it is called the Wormwood. Wormwood. When I say wormwood, I taste bitter in my mouth. Wormwood. It is bitter. very bitter. It's wormwood. It's a bitter wood. It's a very, very, what's the most bitter thing you ever tasted? You know, I had some big, beautiful red fruit one time sitting on my kitchen table in my home in East Bakersfield when I lived over there when I was young. One of my son's friends came to the house. And he was all right. This guy was eating. I think he was a great white shark on the curb. He was an eating machine. He just eat everything. And he would go out and eat three Big Macs at McDonald's and come over there and eat more than all of us in the house could eat. Remember Larry? Larry came in the house and he looked at these big, beautiful fruits sitting on the table. And he says, "Can I have one of those? Can I eat one of those?" I said, "Well, come here. Have at it." He goes over and picks the thing up and he washes it under the sink like this and takes a big old bite out of it. And I mean that man, he goes, "Oh!" It was a persimmon. And it wasn't ripe. How many of you ever tasted an unripe persimmon? That's rough, isn't it, brother? Well, he didn't want to eat it anymore. It looked like a great big, like a tomato, you know, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But it didn't taste very good. Well, this star is going to be worse than any green persimmon, any unripe persimmon. Terrible. It is going to be more bitter than what the Israelites ever tasted out there in the wilderness. You know, God made that water turn sweet. It turned sweet. And that was a time of God's grace and His loving care of them and nurturing them out there in the wilderness, even though they were ungodly rascals. Finally, all of them died except for Joshua and Caleb to go into the land of promise. But
what is it literally? What is
wormwood? Wormwood is, I don't know.
Okay.
Never. It's just an experience. Yes.
It's an herb, and you can also get it in the form of a drink. It's highly illegal throughout the world. You can still get it in, I think, Czechoslovakia. It was drafted with a drink.
Oh. I think
the green fairy lives in the bottle, and once you're sold.
Yeah, that's. Okay. I'm not real familiar with that. You know, you've studied that. So that's
good. It's in Eastern Europe. Yeah, you can get it.
A lot of things. It's but it was bitter. It's a bitter thing. Okay, a stupefying thing. The myrrh that they were going to give Jesus on the cross was so bitter and so sour, like persimmon, like this wormwood, that it would literally shock you. That you forget about everything else when you tasted this stuff. It was kind of a painkiller. It hurts so bad, it tastes so bad, it shocked you so bad that you weren't thinking about what else was happening to you. Wormwood. This thing is terribly bitter, and it poisons the waters. And in the second part of this verse, and it said it's called wormwood, and it became the third of the waters, and the wormwood, and unto bitterness. And many of the men, they died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. They were made violently bitter. Violently bitter. They were poisoned. When you drink something poison, where does it go in your system? Usually. Right into your bloodstream. All right. And what do your kid? What tries to flush it out of your system? Your kidneys and your liver. All right. So what is this going to do to people that drink this poison? Okay, it's going to kill them, but it's going to attack their urinary system, their water elimination systems in their body. That's what's going to happen. They're going to. And if you have high fevers, terrible pains. How many of you ever had a kidney infection? You know, I mean, this is what's going to take place here. This water is going to bring about this sickness. All right? And it's going to be terribly, violently bitter, and people are going to be very ill. Talk about germ warfare. This is the mother of all of it. Okay?
They will make bitter. Epi, what, I mean, if you just put straight to the cast.
Epi, prom, theson. Okay, that's third person plural, first aorist, indicative, and it's passive. And it comes from pikrono, but that word comes from pikros, which means very bitter. Bitter. Pikros, bitter.
Epi,
that means very much.
Okay.
And violently bitter.
Where is
Epi? Epi is from the word.
Okay.
Okay. UTI, Epi.
Okay.
Epsilon, Pi, Iota. Epi, Kron, Theson. Okay. Whenever, in the Greek language, when you want to compound the word or make it stronger, you put something on top of it. If you really know something well, it's epigenosko. If you know something, it's gnosko. But if you really know it thoroughly, it's epigenosko. That's a whole bunch of knowledge. Okay? And this is not just krathesan, but epi. Much violently better. Okay? Powerfully better.
So epi, epigenosko.
It means very bitter. Epi means much.
Much.
Okay, bitter.
Bitter. Yeah.
Very bitter. Okay. And then the verb ending on the end of it. Okay. That Aesop. Okay. 8 and verse 12. Thai.
Thai.
Ho.
Ho.
Hey. Heptarchos.
Heptarchos.
Angelos.
Angelos.
Esau Pisan.
Esau Pisan.
Thai.
Thai.
Eplege.
Epho,
Triton,
Triton,
Tu,
Tu,
Piliu,
Piliu,
Kai,
Kai,
To,
To,
Triton,
Triton,
Tain,
Tain,
Selenis,
Selenis,
Kai,
Kai,
To,
To,
Triton,
Triton,
Ton,
Ton,
Asteron,
Asteron,
Hina,
Hina,
Scopiste,
Scopiste,
To,
So,
Triton,
Triton,
Alton,
Alton,
Kai,
Kai,
Hei,
Hei,
Yamara,
Mei, Mei,
Bone,
Bone,
To,
To,
Triton,
Triton,
Altes,
Altes,
Kai,
Kai,
Hei,
Hei,
Nix,
Nix,
Homios,
Homios.
All right. Still more words here that come over into the Greek language. Then it says, and the fourth angel, the fourth messenger, he sounds forth his trumpet. Right? This fourth trumpet sounds. And then it says, and it was struck. This word struck here, third person singular, second aorist, and then passive. That comes from place, though. Okay? It was struck strongly. All right? The third, whole tritone. See the word three again? The third of the heliu. All right. Helium does what? It rises. All right. Word sun. That's where we get our word helium from. All right. What? This is where the word comes from. This is where the word comes from. Helios. That's the word sun. Helios. And a third of the sun. And a third of the Selenis. How was that real Spanish, that woman singer, Selena?
Selena.
All right, her name meant moon. Moon. That's what the word Selena means, moon. All right. And a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. Now, Selena, we see that word coming into English. And a third of the stars. And then it says, Scotia. Is the term here. That means darkness. Darkness. Scotia. And this the verb form of that is scotizo. And a third of the stars that it might be darkened. The third of them.
You know, Jim, on that first verse there, it explains the wording when Jesus said, except these days be shortened, no life would survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're told how long the tribulation period is going to be, half of it,
mm-hmm.
1260 days, and so forth, they say, well, if it's going to be this day, and then the days are shortened, how can this be? But the fact of the matter is, in Joel, it says the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard, but we know that God can put his hand on the globe and stop its rotation. He's done that twice. He in fact turned it back 15 degrees.
But yeah.
The fact is, when the Earth is speeding up, instead of 24 hours for one revolution, it's going to revolve in 18 hours or 16 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So 16 hours drops 8 hours off, a third of a day, and a third of a night, or chance.
Yeah.
And so, and Jesus said, except these days be shortened. The days are shortened. The Earth's going to speed up on its axis. So this is what the
Earth, what's happening in the tribulation period? When God sends judgment any time, there's always grace with it. 1/6 of the nations that go in here and 1/3 of the Jews that go in here, that's pure grace. Because every one of them should have died, except for the intervention of God. God will intervene and he will save some of them. And we're going to study this all in the book of Revelation. But I don't care how much mercy God gives mankind, they always mess it up. I mean, man is lost. People say, well, why am I condemned? Because of Adam's sin. You would have done the same thing, that's why. If you stuck you in the garden, you would do the same thing that Adam did. And don't say you won't, because you will. God said you would. And I ain't going to prove that again over here in the millennial kingdom of God. God's going to be king over all the earth. Israel's going to be representing him upon the earth. Down here on the earth, he's going to be ruling over the earth. They know God's here, and they know how powerful God is. All right?
We do what Adam did every day. Because, you know, in the Garden of Eden, he put that tree in the midst of the garden. But, you know, in our lives, he puts temptations in the midst of our lives. And we partake of that.
You know,
I mean, we fall.
We just don't hardly want to go buy one.
No, just like Adam did.
We just can't hardly, even when we're saved, we still like our sins. We do. And it says, and there will be darkened. A third of the stars will be darkened. And the day. In other words, it's gonna be daylight for about 4 hours. Like Brother Norm says, the earth's gonna spin faster. It's gonna be real short days. That it might be caused not to shine the third of it. And the night, likewise. The night. Our word night comes right out of the Greek word nix, night. See that? It's N. See that nu there?
Mm-hmm.
And then epsilon, and then C. Night. It's nuptos is where it comes from. Night. Nuptos. All right? Find my pistols. I've got something to lean work. Probably won't. Oh boy. Our word, this would be like N and like Y or I, and then K or G. See that? Night. That's where our word night comes from. Try out the Greek word. Alright? Going a little bit further. Now, people have rejected the light and the truth of God, so God gives them darkness. Simple as that. You like darkness? You love darkness rather than light? Well, how do you like the dark? As simple as that. 8 and verse 13. We have a triple woe here. Kai.
Kai.
Adon.
Adon.
Kai.
Kai.
Ekusam.
Ekusam.
Enos.
Enos.
Etu.
Etu.
Tatumano
and
Mesa Uran Neymati. Well, that's made up of two or three Greek words. Legontes, Legontes that is. Bone, Megale,
Ua,
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 Ua, Tus, Tatahu, Contes, Tos, Epi. Gaze, gaze, heck, tone, loipon, bonon, phase, saltigos, tone, freon, bangalon, tone, Gabon Tom. Saul Pizet. Sometimes I start reading these words. My writing in Greek is not perfect, especially when I write all over the top of it. And I'll start pronouncing it one way and I realize that's not an alpha, that's an omicron. Or something, so that's why I stutter occasionally. Then it says, and I saw. Now remember what this word Eidon means here? It comes from Baal. What does that word mean when you see in this fashion?
It's not right in front of you.
You see it just in your mind like a total picture. God showed John a picture of what was going to happen. This was 3D. This was more than television. He was like right in the midst of it. He had taken him from way back there on the Isle of Patmos into the time when this was happening, and he put him right in the middle of it. Okay? Time traveler. A real time traveler. All right? Now, how in the world did that happen? You might say. Well, right up. The race right here. Lower race. Right there? All hands on back there. All right. You can't use that one.
That green one's stiffing.
That green will work real well, but I want something to change. And you can see it. All right, here's time. Actually, it's in time. And thank you. That's eternity. Let's call it eternity. Circle. Sometimes when a minister performs a work wedding ceremony, he says that circle is eternity. It's eternal. It has no beginning, no end. It's a circle. Well, we'll say that this circle here is eternal. All right. God lives in eternity. He inhabits eternity, the Bible says. He inhabits it. Everything is right now to God. He can look at the end of the tribulation period, right over here. He can look at that period of time and see it as now. He can see this now. He can see this now. He has no problem. We have problem because we live in time and space. But God inhabits eternity. And he took John in that, in his habitation, and let him look and see like God could see it. And that's what we have in the book of Revelation. That's why it's so true and so factual. John wrote down, he didn't have all the words to say. Sometimes he will talk about the sulfur and the brimstone and the smoke and the fire. Well, we know that guns smoke when you fire them, and artillery and all this causes smoke. The brimstone that you're smelling from gunfire, especially the old black powder, was sulfur.
How would he describe an Apache helicopter?
Yeah.
Shooting rockets.
Yeah, let's think about it. We're going to get to that pretty soon. We're going to talk about these locusts that have wings that shake the whole earth as they're flying. And they have mouths that destroy, and they have tails that destroy. All right? They got a mouth like a lion that can kill, and a tail like a scorpion that can sting. So can you see how he might have been seeing some type of a helicopter or flying machine that was bringing this type of destruction? All right, we're going to look at them a little bit later. But you see all these things. John's writing. He didn't have words for some of this. And horses. Well, horses were the transportation in battle at that time. When they thought about modes of transportation in battle, they thought about horses. Well, they might call a jeep or a tank a horse. A big one with armor on it. Or whatever. Okay? Let's look at all of those things. All right? And I saw with my eyes, I experienced, I saw it in living color and form. Okay? That comes from Horao. And I heard. Our word acoustic comes from this word akusa. Okay? First person singular, first aorist indicative, active from akuo. Okay? Throw you a little bit of stuff. And there, maybe all of you aren't thrilled by that grammatical term. That's what it is. All right? Brother Norm, I didn't catch it. I'm so thankful.
I said, we knew that.
Yeah. The other day when I was up here teaching, and I wrote John 1 and 1 on the blackboard, and Brother Norm said, you misspelled a word. Well, I have done that in the past. In Greek, I have misspelled on that one then. And I heard a cool acoustics, okay? One, hinos, okay? One, and then we have the word eagle. I heard a screamer. You know what a screamer is, Mom?
Sorry.
That's what this is. This is a screamer. He knows what you're talking about. This is a screamer. How many of you lived out in the country enough where you could hear an eagle or a hawk squeal? Mm-hmm. They have a squeal. They go, whee! You'll hear them like that. It's a pretty sound. Sometimes if you watch some of the Indian movies, they'll record and they'll, this screamer. There's a screamer flying through heaven. That's what it's talking about. This screamer flying. The Tolmanu. Flying. He continues to fly. This is present participle. This continues to fly. In mid-heaven. In the middle of heaven. This screamer is announcing. Alright? It's a voice up there. Like an eagle's, like in mid-heaven.
What is it, mid-heaven? In the second heaven?
Up in the atmosphere. Yeah, up in the atmosphere. In the atmosphere, there's this announcer up there. This is really something. There's an announcer, like an eagle screaming in mid-air. Where an eagle, in mid-heaven, is where the eagle flies. It's still atmosphere. They can fly pretty high. But there's an atmospheric in that mid-heaven there. That's where this voice, this screamer is coming from, this announcer. Saying in a voice, phoné. We got a word phonograph on that. Phonograph. All right, that's where our word phonograph comes from, this word phoné. In a voice, megale. In a voice, great. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. Now that's an interjection. For extreme emphasis in Greek. When Greek says, give you a little grammar tonight because you have to understand that to understand what's going on here. When you say no, not no, that's your. In English, you're wiping out what you said before, no, no, no. But in Greek, they will say, who? May? All right. Who may? Who the meal? No, not, nothing. No, no, nothing. Not. Well, here we have a triple, whoa. All right. Ooh, ah. Ooh, ah. Ooh, ah. This is a moan. Oh. 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 That's what he's saying. It's calamity. Calamity. When you're tearing a man's arm off of him, you know, you've got him stretched out on a rack and he starts coming to pieces. That's the kind of woe that this is talking about. The climate of torture and calamity. Okay? Absolute destruction. That's what this word means.
How do you pronounce that again?
Ooh-ah. Ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah.
That's also the scream of the demon. The scream of the demon. Remember when Jesus was casting demons out one time, and he cast a demon out of this one, and he said, "Ooh-ah!" In Greek, that's what it says. Here we have it in the book of Revelation three times. This is what that demon said. Whoa! You know what? What do demons like to do? What do demons like to do? They torment, but what do they like to dwell in? Human or animal flesh. But he knew this. I mean, this really, we're going to study it. We're coming into a time of demon possession and demon oppression in the book of Revelation that mankind has never known. terrible. I mean, it ought to make your hair stand on end. That's why John wrote this, for this purpose, to show mankind what's coming upon you. And people are going to be there, and they're going to be so wicked in their ways when they see the judgments of God coming down upon them, the judgments of God, that they won't repent. You know why? Demon possession. Demons like to dwell in animal or human flesh. They like to inhabit and control people. Definitely, physically. You know, how many of you ever seen movies where they talk about a person selling their soul to the devil and they really achieve and do this? You know something, that's not too fantastic. That's not too fantastic. People actually do give their lives over to the power of Satan. And Satan, he takes care of his own. You just look down through history if you don't believe that. He takes care of his own. Some of the greatest, most vicious conquerors, and they conquered and conquered and conquered and conquered. I thought that guy in China that killed millions of people. How about Genghis Khan? Hitler. What gave him the power? What gave him the power to do that? Only the stopping power of God and the Holy Spirit and God's ability to move and change things and to his unpreventable progress and his eternal purpose that he's going to bring about in time and space. That's what stopped Hitler. Powerful man in time. You would look back at history now and how in the world did a man ever get power that was that vicious? Stalin. Killed millions of people. Lenin. These were vicious, vicious people. Vicious. What gave them the power and kept them in there? What is behind nations that are so evil and they go out and show acts of war on people that are so horrible that you can't even imagine. Even in this country here in America, the things that happened to the American Indians in the early part of this nation, the vicious acts, what gave those people the power to do that and to influence people and to get out there and leave? Read the book of Daniel. You go back and look under angelic forces. There is a counter-universe or counter-sphere. Every nation on this earth has angels over it. And leaders. Read the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against world grabbers. That's what it says in Greek, world grabbers. World grabbers. World grabbers. Who's behind these people? It says the powers of darkness. We have war someplace in the world all the time. What's making man want to kill other men? What do you think? What are the forces behind those forces? According to the Word of God, we've got angelic forces behind every one of them. Every time you see bullets fly on earth, feathers and angelic feathers are flying in heaven. Forces. Saying in a voice great, woe, woe, woe. Calamity, calamity, destruction, confusion. To those dwelling, it says, to those making their home upon the earth. And out of the ones, out of the remaining voices of the trumpet, are the sounds of the trumpet. And the third of the angels, the ones being about to sound their trumpets. This is a scary scene. Scary? It's supposed to be scary. It's really going to happen. It's really going to happen. We're in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation. Chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, I'm going to read you some facts about angels. We talked about them just a little bit a while ago. Facts about Angel. I wrote this 20, 30 years ago. I had a teacher that taught me demonology and pneumatology. That's the study of spirits and angels. Okay? His name was Travis Hubbard. Number one, all fallen angels and demons lost their original holiness and became corrupt in nature as an absolute in conduct and beauty and everything. They corrupt. Everything is corrupted. Matthew 10 and verse 1, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, Revelation 12 and 9. Number two, some of them were cast down to the bottomless pit to be held in chains until the day of their tormenting mankind because they were so dangerously, viciously wicked they could not be turned loose. Yes.
When you said the first one, I missed
the verse. Well, the verses, Matthew 10 and 1. I've got tapes for this too if you want to go back to it. I can't hardly get all of it. I'll go a little bit slower for you. But I'll loan you a tape too.
Okay.
Matthew 10 and 1, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, Revelation 12 and 9, and then number 2, some of these angels and demons were so vicious and dangerous that they were held in the bottomless pit until they would be turned loose upon man in the last days. And you can read this in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2 and 4, Revelation 9, 1 through 11. These are too wicked and too dangerous to ever be turned loose on man in this age. But in the tribulation, they will be turned loose. Number 3, some of them are left free and engage in definite opposition to the work of good angels. Revelation 12, 7 through 9, Daniel 10, 12 through 21, Jude 9, Ephesians 2 and 2, and Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Evil angels play a part in the destruction of the original creation of God in Genesis 1 and 2. Revelation 12, 8 and 9, Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, and Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19. If you want to get this on tape and get all some of these down later, or write real fast. You know, I ruined my handwriting going through seminary 12 years taking notes. Just destroyed my handwriting. I talked to a doctor here a while back. He said it ruined his handwriting going to school for so many years. He said that's why we write so bad. Number 5, the final abode of all wicked angels and demons shall be the lake of fire. Matthew 25 and verse 41. And I have written down here, true justice absolute necessitates a hell for the wicked. All right. Number 6, after death, people do not turn into angels. I want you to understand that. You don't sprout wings and take off flying after you die. Angels are either beings of man. Number 7, Satan's angels controls armies and nations. Satan's angels control armies and nations in the history and now. Daniel 7, 15 through 28, Daniel 10, 7 through 13, Joel 3, 9 through 17.
I have certain information that would sure verify that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Number 8, wicked angels and demons sometimes do God's bidding in tormenting people. Let me repeat that. Wicked angels and demons sometimes do God's will or His bidding in tormenting people. Psalm 78, verse 49. Revelation 9 and verse 1. 1 Kings 22 and verse 23. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. And 1 Samuel 19 and verse 9. Number 9. They can inflict disease upon people. Job 1, 5 through 10. See what happened? We were just reading not long ago, the wormwood. Matthew 9 and verse 33 through 12 and verse 22. Luke 9, 37 through 42. And Luke 13, 11 through 16. Matthew 4, 24. Matthew 8, verse 16. Matthew 9, 20 through 35. And Mark 1, 32 through 34. I'm not destroying these statements out to you. All of these verses back these things up. Number 10. Demons can cause mental disorders. Mark 5, 4 through 5. Luke 8 and verse 35. Number 11. Demons lead out in moral impurity and filthy railing and blasphemy to God in humans. Matthew 12:43, Matthew 10:1, Mark 1:23-27, Luke 4:33-36, Acts 5:16-17, Revelation 16:13, Leviticus 18:6-30. Demons are authors of false doctrine, false teaching that is spread out. You know, we have a whole world of cults out here. You know, we base the Baptist Church our doctrine upon the Word of God. We have millions of cults out here saying that they do too, or some other revelation. Where do you think the revelations come from? The Bible. What?
But it's not of God.
Yeah, what is not of God? Is it safe? The Antichrist will be the ultimate preacher in the last days. He will be Satan's evangelist. He will be Satan's apostle. Demons are authors of false doctrine in 1 Kings 22:21-24, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, doctrines of demons. Number 13, demons oppose children of God in their spiritual progress. Do you think that's true? Ephesians 6:10-13, that happens in every one of our lives. I don't know how many of us that Satan really specifically, personally bothers. But I know he's got a lot of helpers. Luke 22:31. Number 14, demons desire to dwell in human or animal flesh. That's backed up by Matthew 4:24, Mark 5:8-14, Luke 8:2, Acts 8:7, Acts 16:16.